76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and coworkers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
And distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and NORML staff and NORML's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to the Audio Stash. Today, Friday, March 30th, an absolutely spectacular, gorgeous spring Friday it is. Take a moment to join us at NORML to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit NORML.org. It has just been an amazing week of programming here on NORML's Daily Audio Stash. Wednesday, we had Clarence Page here on the program. Yesterday, we were on the phone with Tel Aviv, Israel there. I gotta tell you, folks, it's a lot of work here at NORML's Daily Audio Stash, but we have a lot of fun doing it as well, and it is a great thrill and privilege to highlight this content for you every day in our podcast. We have a really fun show for you here today. We got some comedy, we got music, we're gonna check in with the celeb stoners of America, and we're also gonna start with some news. Our news today, from Salt Lake City, Utah. Pot odor not sufficient for warrantless search, Utah Supreme Court says. The odor of burning marijuana outside of a home does not grant law enforcement the authority to enter that residence without a warrant to search for contraband. The Utah Supreme Court recently ruled in a 4-1 decision. The ruling affirms a 2005 Utah Court of Appeals decision determining that police improperly entered a private residence after reportedly, quote, smelling marijuana leaking out of the cracks of the trailer, close quote. Writing for the majority, Justice Ronald Naring opined that only a limited number of circumstances, such as the imminent destruction of evidence, create exigent circumstances to justify a warrantless search. Quote, we decline to pare back a fundamental constitutional guarantee where the commission of an offense, in this case smoking marijuana, involves as its incidental but inevitable consequence the destruction of evidence, close quote. The court determined. They continued, quote, presumably, even if some of the marijuana was destroyed through the process of smoking while law enforcement sought a warrant, some evidence of the drug use would linger in the form of residue, smoking paraphernalia, and some quantity of unsmoked marijuana. Therefore, the aroma of marijuana must be accompanied by some evidence that the suspects are disposing of the evidence, as opposed to casually consuming it, before law enforcement officials may be lawfully justified in claiming the benefit of the exigent circumstances exception. Close quote. A 2004 paper published in the journal Law and Human Behavior reported that marijuana's odor is seldom strong enough to be detected by law enforcement outside of a home and or the trunk of an automobile. Full text of the decision in Utah versus Duran is available online at norml.org. Next up on the Audio Stash today, we're going to get to some great Friday comedy. We found this up at the Independent Online Distribution Alliance. Here's Brian Regan with his Donut Lady skit. You ever go into a donut shop completely, completely stoned?
I have to watch what I eat. My cholesterol is about, I think it's 5,218. Something like that. I don't eat well. I like buying donuts. I feel bad for the donut ladies because people can't make up their mind in these places. You'd think the donut ladies would just snap and start shooting people. Out! Everybody out! Go on. I don't know what it is about buying donuts, but people freak out. They go in there, okay. Okay. Looking around. All right. I need a dozen donuts. Oh. You have a lot of donuts. Okay, I'm going to start with four chocolate. I want two Twisty Goose. I want a lemon Twitter. I want a raspberry puff. I want a honey curl. And two chocolate. No, one. Put it back. I want a Bavarian apple crunch. Get the ladder. Hey. Why don't you go out inside and think it over, huh? It's a big decision. Can't blow donut day. But the donut ladies have learned how to get back at you. They do the subtraction for you in front of the other customers, make you look like an idiot. You go in there, yeah, I'd like a dozen donuts. I'll start with seven chocolate. You have five left. Oh. Okay, if I order one more, then how many would I have left? How many would I have then, donut lady? That's what I need to know, and now! I know how many I got. They have some weird donuts. There are some donuts that I don't understand who thought of them. There's one donut. Have you ever seen this? I've seen it in more than one donut place. It's a donut with frosting all over the top, and there are sprinkles on it, but the sprinkles are just over on one end of the donut. For the life of me, I don't know who's looking for that in a donut. Somebody have that particular of a taste, that that's what they're looking for? You know, they walk into a donut place, gling, gling, gling. Gling, gling, gling. Okay. I want a donut, and I want frosting all over the top. And I want sprinkles, but not all over. I just want them scrunched over on the edge. You got anything like that? We sure do. Freshly baked, we saw you pulling in. It's called our Sprink Smidge for lunatics like you.
Brian Regan with his donut shop skit there from his album that we found on the Independent Online Distribution Alliance. You can link up to the full album of Brian's comedy up on our website today at normalaudiostash.com. Next up on the Audio Stash today, it's time for us to check in with the celebrity stoners of America and the world with Steve Bloom at celebstoner.com.
I want to be famous. I want to wear minks and satins and pearls.
Steve Bloom is the man with his finger on the pulse of famous folk who enjoy a toke. You can read all about him and see photos at celebstoner.com. Steve, welcome back to the Audio Stash this Friday.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Oh, doing wonderful on this gorgeous spring Friday, Steve. First, let's talk about this eye catcher here at celebstoner.com featuring a letter about marijuana from Senator and presidential candidate Barack Obama.
Well, thank you to Alan St. Pierre, by the way, the head of Normal. Alan sent me the letter. We were chatting about Bill Maher's stance on who he's supporting for president, and it appeared on Maher's show last Friday that he had supported Hillary, which was a little bit of a surprise because he really hasn't gone on record yet, but it seems that Bill's going to support Hillary. And then Alan responded by email sending me this Obama letter, you know, kind of, I already heard Alan on your show talking about the presidential candidates and how they're not so good on weed. So he's been, you know, saying, well, Hillary or Billary, as he likes to call her, you know, might not be so good either, but he said, here's an indication of where Obama stands. And so Obama sent the letter to a citizen who had probably sent the note to him saying, you know, what would you do about marijuana? And his response is kind of vague, but ultimately he's sticking by the law. You know, what the law is the way it is, and he didn't seem like, hey, I want to change the law. So he basically says, I'm aware of the arguments that legalizing marijuana would make the drug more controlled or safer, and that it may curb the violence associated with the sale of an illegal substance. I also appreciate that many physicians believe that medicinal marijuana can be helpful to some patients. Currently, Illinois state law prohibits the use of marijuana for medical purposes unless the user has applied for permission and proven their need for use. I didn't know you could do that in Illinois, to be honest. He goes on to say, as you may know, the Supreme Court last year issued a ruling on medical marijuana, deciding on a 6-3 vote that the federal government has authority to override state laws that allow for the use of marijuana for medical purposes. Federal law prohibits the possession of or cultivation of marijuana for any purpose, including medicinal uses, and no exceptions have been made on the national level. Again, thank you for writing. Please, you know, make sure to keep in touch. So, you know, he's being clean, so to speak. You know, he doesn't really want to go on record, so we're not really sure where he stands. But it seems, you know, by this letter, you know, he's doing the political thing. He's not going to take a
And probably the only candidate with any ground on the marijuana issue right now is Governor Bill Richardson, who came out very strongly in support of New Mexico's medical marijuana legislation.
Absolutely. The governor of New Mexico, who, you know, the legislature has passed a bill, and, you know, and looks like Bill himself will sign that into law and make New Mexico the 12th medical marijuana state, which would be great news. So it seems that, you know, marijuana smokers, if you're looking for one candidate out there to support right now in the presidential landscape for 2008 on the Democratic side, it would be Bill Richardson.
And Steve, this week, every follower of celebs saw the autopsy of Anna Nicole Smith. She had quite a bouquet of medications in her system there. Were you surprised, I mean, just by the sheer volume of stuff that was in her body?
Well, it is a massive list. I mean, it's Valium, Klonopin, Activin, and a long variety of drugs that she was taking. But, you know, if you took a look in her refrigerator, some of those photos that came out after her death, you know, she had the methadone in the fridge, and she had, you know, a huge collection of pills in her closet, and, you know, in her in her bathroom closet. And so, you know, no, I'm not surprised. And, you know, I haven't followed this that closely, but it seemed, and Bill Maher, by the way, is right when he was asked the question, how did she die? And he said it must have been drugs, and it was most likely pharmaceuticals. And he made a good solid point about that, saying, hey, that's the problem in this country, not marijuana. You can't die from marijuana, and look what happened to her. So it's a really good point. You know, here it is. Here's an example of somebody who, you know, went over the edge on, you know, pharmaceutical drugs, and they're illegal.
Also, Steve, up at CelebStoner.com, I see another Snoop Dogg story. Last week, we talked about the incident in Sweden, but now the United Kingdom has actually barred Snoop from entering the country. Is that right?
Well, you know, Snoop Dogg and his whole crew had a big row in England last year when apparently, you know, he wasn't allowed into a first-class Lufthansa club in the airport, I guess, a waiting area, and they wanted to hang out there, you know, I think have a little privacy when they're waiting, you know, for their plane, and they were turned down, and there were some issues, and, you know, some words were exchanged, and, you know, it became a big deal, and they pretty much, you know, were threatening to ban Snoop Dogg from England, and I guess they have, you know, based on that. So even though this tour had been booked a while ago, this Puff the Past tour with P. Diddy that recently was in Amsterdam, that must have been a lot of fun, they had 5 dates scheduled for the UK, including Scotland, and a big show at Wembley, which was supposed to be last night, and they turned down his visa request. So, you know, Snoop's running into problems. You know, he did have a problem there in England, and they're biting him back. You know, whether right or wrong, whatever went on that particular day, you know, they didn't take too kindly to the behavior of Snoop Dogg and his whole crew, so they don't want him back in the country, at least for the time being. And, you know, maybe Snoop Dogg's people should have worked on this a little bit farther in advance to secure the visa before booking the shows, but they ended up canceling 5 shows. They weren't going to go ahead with just the P. Diddy side of the show and whoever else is on the bill. You know, Snoop is the biggest attraction on that show. It's Snoop Dogg and PD and some other acts. So it's been canceled. And so Snoop's got, you know, problems. I mean, on this particular tour, he was already arrested in Sweden, or we believe he was arrested, at the very least detained for marijuana or some sort of narcotics use, most likely marijuana. And they haven't really come back with a report on what happened there that day, but it was after the show a week ago in Stockholm where Snoop's vehicle was stopped, and he was with a woman in the vehicle. There was most likely the smell of marijuana and some amount of the marijuana in the vehicle that was confiscated. But they haven't really come back with a report on that. So it's been a very eventful tour for Snoop Dogg in Europe this time around.
Indeed. And also up at CelebStoner.com is a preview of an article you wrote for High Times in the current issue of High Times magazine. Stephen Marley, the Angry Lion, and he's got a new CD out now. It's selling quite well. It's getting a lot of good play out there.
Well, the CD just came out. It's called Mind Control, and it's the first solo album by Stephen Marley, who's the second son of Bob Marley. You know, with Ziggy and Stephen were the first two sons that Bob had, and they were in the Melody Makers, the group that you know, sort of followed in the death of Bob Marley with the two sisters and two brothers. And now you know, Ziggy has gone off on his own solo career. Stephen has been kind of the mastermind of Damian Marley's success because he's the producer and co-writer of a lot of the songs that Damian had, you know, huge success with Welcome to Jam Rock, and also his previous album Halfway Tree, which have both won Grammy Awards and Stony Awards, or Doobie Awards actually. And this last album, Welcome to Jam Rock, did win a Grammy Award, this last Grammy Awards show. So Stephen's been kind of behind the scenes, you know, doing a lot of stuff, you know, for the Marley family singers, whoever it may be, mostly Damian. Now he's, you know, decided to step to the front, and he has his own solo album. And so, you know, I was invited by his representatives to Miami or South Miami, where he lives, to spend a day with him and photographer Brian Jan, who came down with me from New York to interview Stephen and listen to some of the tracks before the album was being released. This was back in, this was a couple of months ago. We went down there, and it was great. It was really a great day. We came into the house. We spent pretty much the whole day in the studio. Stephen played a lot of the tracks that we hadn't heard yet. He was smoking spliffs, you know, straight through when we got there with a big spliff, and then he offered us some because, you know, we came down, you know, we had just flown, so, you know, we didn't really have, and he was very kind and very friendly. I've known the Marley family for a lot of years through my association with High Times, and everybody's always been quite friendly, but this is the first time we were welcomed into, you know, somebody's home, and in this case it was Stevens. And, you know, we just basically spent the day did some interviewing. What's interested me mostly about this album is that he's taken, you know, three songs on the album focus on one arrest that occurred back in 2002. The songs Traffic Stop, which is actually a hit already off the album, and then the song I Am Bars, which really is specifically about, you know, when they were arrested. What happened was Stephen and brother Julian were driving back from Tallahassee from a Damian Marley show, and they're heading back to Miami. They were stopped, pulled over by police for speeding, and, you know, you can imagine there was the smell of marijuana in the car. And, you know, they found what Stephen says was seven nicely rolled spliffs ready for the ride, and they were taken to jail. They didn't last in jail very long. The police didn't quite know who they were initially, but gradually it kind of became clear that they had arrested the sons of Bob Marley. And then he was let go. But before that, you know, he was literally, you know, locked up with other prisoners behind the iron bars. And he writes about it, and he calls himself the Angry Lion, you know, that he's behind the bars. And so I spent, you know, a lot of time talking to him about that, and that's really my main focus of that article, that Steve Marley is what we say pissed off about the pot laws, that he's the Angry Lion. And Bob was the lion, and he was really more like that peaceful lion. And Stephen, you know, really channels his father probably more than any of the sons. And when you talk to him, you really get that message of upliftment with marijuana, and also the little bit of the anger about the marijuana laws. And in his case, you know, this is something that, you know, his father father, you know, championed, you know, trying to change the laws going back to the 70s, and this is all these years later. And Stephen's the loudest voice in the Monolith family. Damien will talk about it. Ziggy is a little less inclined these days to really talk, you know, as directly about marijuana. And so it's been really left to Stephen to be the spokesman in the family. And he does it quite well on this new album. I really recommend people go out and buy Mind Control.
And Steve, I also saw your appearance there in the brand new High Times web reality show.
Well, it's the brainchild of Steve Hager, you know, the editor-in-chief of High Times. And Steve, for the last few years, you know, has been focused on that kind of a concept of a reality programming for the magazine. And he would very much, of course, like to see it appear on broadcast television. And I think the opportunity is to put it out there on the High Times website and stir up interest and see whether he can really get, you know, any networks, you know, interested. You know, Steve started this idea with the Cannabis Castaways at the Cannabis Cup around 5-6 years ago, where he, you know, invited six, you know, readers of the magazine to come to Amsterdam to, you know, to all, you know, meet up and then judge the marijuana, be like, you know, judges early on before the cup even begins. And they were all placed on a houseboat, and none of them knew each other, and they had to kind of get used to each other and deal with, you know, this copious amounts of marijuana and see how they can handle the whole thing. And so that's really the beginning or the roots of, you know, Steve's fascination with this and, you know, and utilizing it and turning it into a little bit of a program, which appeared on the website and also on the High Times DVD about the Cannabis Cup. So this is, you know, his next step in this direction. And although I'm not up in the office really as regularly as, you know, some of the other staffers, I happened to be there the day that they were doing a little shooting at an editorial meeting. And this first episode is kind of a fun episode about Bobby Black, one of the editors, who has been kind of cut back a little bit on his column that he writes regularly, and he's a little upset about it, and he's, you know, kind of talking about it with one of the guys on the staff whose name is Potstar, and you know, and also at an editorial meeting. So that seems to be the main focus. So it's called High Times, you know, The Office, kind of a takeoff on the TV show The Office, I suppose. And it's, you know, trying to open up the window to how things work in High Times world. Rolling Stone has its own show, you know, so it's similar to that idea, but Rolling Stone had people coming up working at the magazine, kind of like intern style, and what is it like to work at Rolling Stone. This is not quite like that, where you're not bringing in new faces. It's just working with the people who are already there, introducing them as personalities, each and every editor, who works up at High Times, and then get a little more glimpse into how things are done at High Times. Who are the people who run High Times? You know, what goes on into making the decisions that put the magazine together, and what are the issues, you know, that come up on a daily basis, and, you know, how is that going to be reflected in this programming? So, so I think there's a big push towards 420 releasing more of these episodes. So the first one was kind of like sneaked out there just to sort of tip people to it and gradually, you know, leak it out there more and more. But there's a lot of footage that Steve's been taking up at the office. We'll see where it goes from here.
And you guys are all editors and reporters. Is it interesting, you know, kind of an interesting experience to have the cameras turned on you in the office there?
I think so. I don't think people are as quite used to it, but, you know, people, you know, Steve's been talking this up for quite a while, and you know, there may be a few people in the office who are not as interested in going on camera, but most people are. You know, they don't seem to mind. They, you know, I guess, you know, they're interested in their own little, you know, celeb stoner, you know, they could be, you know, celebs themselves, you know, as the cameras are turned on them. But, you know, people interview High Times quite a bit, so I think we're all pretty used to the cameras facing us. You know, we all do a lot of interviews, you know, as I'm doing now, and done plenty of TV and radio interviews over the years. And, you know, maybe not the everybody up at High Times doesn't do all the interviews that, you know, that I've done or Steve Hager and some of the other editors have done, but, you know, but they're a little bit more used to it, you know. And then, you know, the idea that people are so fascinated with, you know, working up at High Times, I think it's one of the great jobs of all time, and, you know, arguably it is, and especially for anybody who's a stoner. So, you know, it just opens that window. You know, the window, you know, sometimes you just, it's a mystery, you know, and now it's kind of like demystifying what is it like to be up at High Times a little bit.
It's a lot more work than I think a lot of people realize, too.
Well, tremendous tremendous amount of work. I mean, you know, people think it's all fun and games, but really, you know, it's like any other magazine, getting a magazine monthly out the door. You know, a lot of work just to do that. It takes a lot. You know, it could be about anything. You know, it doesn't have to be about marijuana. And that makes it special, and that also is what makes High Times, you know, obviously unique, that it's not just a magazine. It's a little bit of a mission. It's kind of a lifestyle that, you know, the people who work there stay there for a long time. They care about it. People may not, you know, have exorbitant salaries. It's an independent company. It's not, you know, you're not working for Condé Nast or, you know, a big corporate, you know, magazine company where, you know, you get some, you know, real super financial benefits. So, you know, to work at High Times, you know, you're there for the love of the job, for the cause and the purpose, the mission, that you're an advocacy journalist. You're just not just somebody there who's spitting out stories, you know, without maybe any great meaning. High Times, you feel like there's great meaning there, that every time you do something, you're, you know, you're putting yourself out there and you're, you know, leading the way somewhat so that the vast readership out there will catch on to whatever it is that you're trying to say. And, you know, it might stir somebody to come to the Normal website and join Normal or go out there and be active or write a letter and get a response from Barack Obama. People are already doing it, but I think High Times inspires people to do it, you know, on a daily basis, that they see what the magazine does and say, hey, you guys are really out there already, you know, taking the chance of, you know, of being at the forefront, you know, so why can't you as well as a reader, you know, put yourself a little bit more out there? So the magazine is meant to inspire and enlighten, and I think it does that job.
Right on. Steve, I want to thank you again for joining us here today to talk about the highlights there at CelebStoner.com.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Steve Bloom is the man who brings us CelebStoner.com, keeping in touch with the famous folks who enjoy a toke. He joins us each Friday here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash, and we have links to CelebStoner.com up on our website today. You can always find out more about the show at NormalAudioStash.com.
I wanna be famous, famous, better than all of my friends,
so much better than all of her friends.
I wanna be famous, famous, lonely and alone at the end. I'll end up bitter and ugly and old, not just my body but also my soul. But a legend is my goal, and a legend I'll be.
Going to get out of here today with some great music found up at podshow.com. Here's the Friday evening song by the Big George Jackson Blues Band. We have links to them at normalaudiostash.com.
Well, it's Friday evening, just got paid. Well, it's Friday evening, and I just got paid. I'm gonna have me some fun before I leave this place. I'm gonna get my hair cut, shine my shoes, put on shirt and tie, see what I can do. Well, it's Friday evening, and I just got paid. Well, it's Friday evening, and I just got paid. Well, it's Friday evening, and I just got paid. I'm gonna have me some fun before I leave this place. clubs. Check out the ladies. I'm gonna wrap my game and see if I can get me some honey. Well, it's Friday evening, and I just got paid. Well, it's Friday evening, and I just got paid. Well, it's Friday evening, and I just got paid. I'm gonna have me some fun before I leave this place.
The Friday evening song there by the Big George Jackson Blues Band. We found them up at podshow.com. We got links to them up on our website today at normalaudiostash.com. You've been listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. Podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.